Well, the Israelites had these Baals and Asherahs. I don't think I even said that correctly, actually. The Asherahs were the female god, and Baal was the male principal gods in that particular region. Those Asherah poles keep on cropping up through the Old Testament as the Israelites attempted to worship the gods of their neighbours instead of the God of Israel. So who's got an Asherah pole at home? Anyone? Maybe a Baal statue? Or a statue to Damon, the god of Philistine? Nobody? Oh, you surprised me. You've got a gnome. Is that the god of fishermen? Right. So what are our idols? Because we don't worship the statues, do we? But what are the idols that we're tempted to worship? That we place where God's glory should be? Actually, I'm not going to name any names because I've got this thing about preachers who talk about sin, naming and describing it in graphic detail, who actually, perhaps not meaning to, lay temptation in front of people. But much better, I think, is that we examine ourselves in the light of God and ask Him to expose that to ourselves. Well, this is the account that Sarah read us of Israel returning to God. How did that happen? How did this return from sin take place? This is a national sin we're talking about here. Well, God had demonstrated that His glory was much greater than that of the Philistines and their gods. He had also demonstrated to Israel that without Him they were powerless. Notice it was God who defeated the Philistines in that account, not the Israelites. Once the ark had reached Kiriath-Jearim, Israel had demonstrated their desire to return to God and to seek His glory. Samuel, as God's prophet, was blunt in his words. He said this: "If you're returning to the Lord with all your heart, then put away your foreign gods and the Ashtaroth from among you, and direct your heart to the Lord and serve Him only. And He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." So the people of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtaroth, and they served Him only. Well, there we go. You see, for the Christian, loving obedience has to be intentional, not accidental, not coincidental. We have to, when we have grieved God and our relationship with Him has actively fallen away, then we have to go beyond feeling sorry. We have to do away with our disobedience. Israel burnt their idols and destroyed their Asherah poles. We might have to stop going places. We might have to stop doing things. We might have to stop saying things. We might have to change our attitudes. But much more than that, much more than stop, we will have to do. It's likely that we'll have to go to different places. We'll have to do different things. We'll have to care about new things, love different people, take action over things we'd never thought of before. The Christian life leaves behind a dead past and lives in a new resurrection life. So that's stage one of how Israel returned to God. They stopped and they did. It was intentional. Stage two is an honest confession. The people as a whole gathered to confess their sin, not to Samuel, but to the Lord. Meanwhile, Samuel was praying to the people. It says in verse 6, chapter 7, so they gathered at Mizpah, drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. This is the people of God doing this, not before they were the people of God. They are the people of God. So for the Christian, honesty of confession is firstly being honest with God and with ourselves. There will be times when we say, it isn't that bad, and so we give ourselves permission to continue with what we know grieves the Spirit. That will be a normal human reaction for many a Christian, many a time. We may feel the grief of the Spirit deep within us. Say sorry, but know we will repeat our hurtful behaviour. The Israelites demonstrated their repentance through a ceremony of pouring water on the ground and fasting, which incidentally is not something contained in the law of God, but it was clearly was effective about bringing about change. We may have to do something that, as it were, acts out our repentance. It might be kneeling in a field and out loud confessing to God. It might be through a deed like confessing to another person. It might be like Zacchaeus making remuneration for our sin. It might be seeking to restore a relationship, or it might be resigning from a position that we shouldn't be in. Whatever it is, the bottom line is that will be hard and it will take genuine humility to achieve it. Stage three of the way the Israelites returned to God and to receive, live in his glory, is through an effective sacrifice on the people's behalf. While the people turned to face their enemies, the Philistines, they were afraid. Well, wouldn't you be? But they asked Samuel to continue praying and offer a burnt sacrifice, burnt offering for their 7 and 8. Forgiveness and a restored relationship with God takes a sacrifice. The Israelites knew this. And even if, as they were facing their enemies, Samuel continued to pray and sacrifice a burnt offering. Samuel didn't exactly follow the law of God in that sacrifice. But once again, it was evidently effective. Surely this must have been to do with the heart being right, rather than the detail of ritual being the important thing. For the Christian, Christ has made the sacrifice, all sufficient and for all time. Do you know that's so hard to keep in your head? Christ's sacrifice for us as Christians is all sufficient. There is no need for anything else. There not only no need, nothing else would be effective anyway. And it's for all time, even those times you will transgress in the future. But sacrifice was required by the Father, and Jesus did it for us. The cross of Christ is the only means by which our relationship with God and the capacity to stand in his presence in the glory of God can and is achieved. The cross of Christ is absolutely central to our personal relationship with him. Stage four of God returning to the people in his glory. At Mizpah was the place of Israel's defeat, and God gave them victory there again. For the Christian and the Christian church, God will return his glory and blessing. when we are right with him. We naturally hate being accountable and don't want to face up to our weakness, but the great blessing comes from it if we have wandered from our first love of Jesus. So let's examine ourselves to see if we have lost something of our first love of Jesus. Stage 5 of this great returning of the country and the nation of the people of God to God. Samuel worshipped and established a memorial for the people so they would not forget the goodness of God. Samuel understood the only way for Israel to remain faithful to God and live in his ways is to remember and to worship. That's why we're here. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called its name Ebenezer. For he said, and this is the meaning of the word Ebenezer, till now the Lord has helped us. Psalm 78 in its total goes through the whole salvation story of the Israelite people, how God was repeatedly faithful and restored his relationship with them despite their faithlessness, taking place time and time up to the point in history covered by this passage. And God continued with his faithfulness, culminating in the coming of Jesus as his promised Messiah and King, his death and his resurrection. For Christians, the cross of Jesus is our Ebenezer. And the Lord's Supper is our act of memorial. The Lord's Supper takes us back to Jesus' victory over sin and death. He will never leave us or forsake us. Whatever we face, the truth is, we will face great challenges. Jesus won the eternal victory for us. Say a prayer. Our Father God, we thank you that it is in the cross of Christ of our salvation. We thank you that it is you who has won the victory. And it is in Jesus we find our hope. Amen. Well, we're going to turn now to our Ebenezer.